Today's episode is brought to you by Live Forever Golf. If you like living forever and you like golf, then you're going to love Live Forever Golf. Enter discount code LFG20 for 20% off your next order.
Live Forever Golf, for the player, not the game.
Mal Natty, so he's on the advisory board. He just did a great article, I think, with Adam Shupak. It came out on Monday. It's saying the same thing as Roy. It's like, what Scotty did was, Scotty Scheffler was amazing, but it would be just a little bit better if Rahm finished third. Like, it's not saying that there's an asterisk. Of course there's not an asterisk. That's a ridiculous argument. But we need to have people come together, especially at the players. I don't think you miss it at Bay Hill because half the guys didn't turn up to Bay Hill anyway.
Yeah,
but the players is the one tournament outside the four majors that's got to have, you know, that rock solid feel for the fifth major.
We are back. Another episode of Straight Down the Middle-ish. Got myself, Scott Riley, Aaron Price, and our guy that kind of keeps the glue together here at LFG. You've turned into a bit of a mascot. Recently single, Drew.
Still.
Welcome back, Drew Ball.
Not that recent. But
down,
I mean,
from,
you know.
Down from the hole.
What do you call the person above the intern? Like, you're not an intern, but...
A rookie.
The rookie.
Speaking of being a rookie, he had his first debut out at the TPC Sawgrass last week.
It was actually my first debut at a PGA Tour event.
Really?
What a bar to be set there.
I have been to an LPGA Tour event.
Of course you have.
Well, my aunt
considering
was
options.
Hey,
of transitioning.
My aunt was playing. It's a family event.
The Epson Tour is at Atlanta Beach this week. If you want to go check
that's
right. them out.
I'm going to have to pass on that.
Yeah, man, Spencer Brown is... organizing that.
Yeah, we got LFG out there.
Spencer Brown.
The volunteers back.
Yeah,
nice.
He's on the committee.
We're outfitting all the volunteers this week. But Drew does have some history in the game. His grandfather played in two Masters?
Three
Masters.
Ralph Johnston, shout out.
Well, I'm learning something. I just thought you were here to lift the heavy boxes.
His best finish was 17th.
And
so. We brought him in because of his lineage.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Pure pedigree right here.
Yeah,
it looks like an athlete. I got to see him throw a ball.
That was a hell of a players though.
It was.
We were really treated to.
All four
rounds were compelling. I'll say that.
You were out there every day, weren't you?
Every day except Sunday, just little entertaining clients.
Yeah.
So it was good. Yeah, we seemed to get access to the Dreamfinders.
How'd you get that
chalet?
Nate greased his way into that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Patrick is. Member and lives here, that the president and a few other guys, Beatty McGraw, all those guys. But a shout out to Dreamfinders Homes for letting us up there and just bringing a few out of town clients. And then Cole Swindell did the Tuesday concert, and he was here all week. I think he was on a mini bachelor party. He's getting married in the middle of the year. And
yeah, I don't know much about his work, but I saw him popping up on all kinds of photos.
Yeah, he went to Georgia Southern. We're the same age. We used to play golf most...
Fellow Eagle.
Every couple of Fridays. He's a beautiful songwriter. So he wrote three or four number ones before he even got picked up.
Ah.
And he did his own without a label. And he used to sell merch with Luke Bryan. He's working for Luke Bryan, who's another Georgia Southern Eagle. And then he did a solo one that went on to like XM radio and just, you know, sold 100,000 copies. Then he got a deal with Warner Music, which is the same as Luke Bryan. And I don't know, I think he's had 10 number one. I don't know. I don't follow the music part. He's a good buddy.
I have a very hard time.
We have similar...
drinking? Similar interests?
Similar interests in having a few drinks. Just a few, but...
I have a hard time getting behind country music, and I always have. I grew up with a couple of country music stars, and I didn't even know they fucking played music until they were famous.
That's
and
nuts.
To me, that's an indictment on country music itself, because...
Well, it's a different community.
Time
it's
out.
A totally different community.
If you... Like to me, that's like being elite at something and not picking it up until 18 or 21. Like that, stop. That just means it's everyone can do it. It's like pickleball.
Yeah, it's a catch-all. You just fell into
country
music.
Like pickleball. What a great fucking analogy that is.
Well, just to segue, so Cole's future brother-in-law is Jack Sock, who was a tennis player, top 10. Is now like a pickleball champion. So look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that little segment.
But Darius Rucker with Hootie and the Blowfish didn't pan out in the college world and then became a country
legend. I grew up playing sports with Chase Rice and his brother.
Don't you know the Florida Georgia Line?
Yep. Brian Kelly from Florida Georgia. High school next to me. He was really good at sports. Had no clue he was musically inclined.
Well, when somebody says, like, what kind of music do you like? And they'll say, anything but country.
Yeah.
I'll disagree. Like country, when I was in Australia, country was zero except for Tamworth. Country's getting big. Like Luke Combs, there's a lot of people transitioning in. And country's not...
Well, who?
It's bro country. Combs.
You don't know Luke Combs? Combs? Yeah. I don't fucking know. But,
it's like a hairbrush, a comb.
Cole wrote one of Flora Georgia Line's songs.
They're not together anymore, are they?
This is how we roll. No, they broke up.
Yeah. Hmm.
What about Drew? You seen
my buddy's dad used to say, "If it ain't country, it ain't shit."
I don't know heaps, but
Look, I'm fine with it. But I have a hard time taking those guys serious. They're not real rock stars to me at all.
Cole has some habits of a rock star. Eric Church apparently is a rock star. Really?
These guys are so much bigger than you think. Like, yeah, my daughter's wanting to go to a Zach Bryan concert this summer. He's playing stadiums. He's playing in the Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta.
I'm well aware they're big.
And he was at Daly's last fall or something. Like, how did you go that
I will
big
say that
quick?
they probably, that community supports artists better than like pop, pop or rock or anything. They turn out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but that was good. We went to the Tim McGraw concert on Cole's bus. That was pretty interesting.
Where was he playing at?
At the arena. Yeah. Star. It was good. I know, you know, probably six songs of Tim McGraw, but
yeah,
it was cool.
So your TPC view and pricey, you're chilling in the chalet, hang out a whole
lot. Yeah, I took the kids out. No, I did. I took the kids out. So another segue. So the guy, the cop who was, chauffeuring Cole around, inside the ropes was my wife's like childhood best friend, Tommy. So, my kids love cops because kids love cops. So we went up and met Tommy and he was chauffeuring Cole. And so we ended up walking a hole. Cole likes Max Homer. So we walked the 16th, just inside the ropes, and Max tossed Gibson a ball, which was good. So Gibson's now a Max Homer fan, which is good. Good role model. Then he got it signed, and so we did a mix of both, but the weather was perfect. The course was the best I've ever seen it. 20 under one would have been cool to see a playoff.
Yeah.
And I just watched that episode of Full Swing about Wyndham Clark, who I don't know much about. I know John Ellis, his caddy, really well, was a legend.
Yeah.
But just the leaps and bounds he's made working with that sports psychologist, which I'm sure Matt will push back here on the sports
a little bit.
No, I love that lady, Julie. Is that who he's working with?
Yeah. Holy shit.
She's a saint, dude. She sought me out when I was out there. Not to work with me, but I flew back with her one year at the British Open. We were sitting next to each other.
She saw some missing pieces.
Nice.
She is an amazing human being, dude. Mm-hmm. She's my favorite in that field by far.
Well, yeah.
I wonder how disarming it is, though, working with
I've had some
a female
late night powwows with Julie. She's a cool chick, man.
I mean... there's a lot of pride and ego, right, that goes into before you want to work with a mental coach. And then I think working with a woman, too, it's really elevated Wyndham's game.
I work with Fanny Sinison, who's, not trained, but, has seen a lot of stuff on the ground. My first year, I should have kept going. She was fantastic.
On the bag? Or,
I think there's something about a mental coach, having a woman sports psychologist. Just you can probably open up a little more.
Yeah, they
more
fill
to
the
them.
Gaps.
Well, that's
what
it sounds
like
with Wyndham Clark. So I think there's something to a talented person who's angry. And I wasn't as talented, but I was angry. Matt gets angry. I think there's something, obviously Wyndham was pretty evident that he needed to. I'm sure he had some major breakdowns that he hadn't got out of his system. So whether it's trauma or I don't know, I'm not pretending
it's
to be a source, but I'm interested in it.
It's work.
But man, the guy legitimately thinks he's the number one player in the world, and he's playing like it. So
let's get back.
Crazy about how much talent you have and how much you use and how much we know guys who are more talented than anyone we just mentioned who barely didn't even get on the PGA Tour because they just can't. Transition. I don't know. It's interesting.
Let's get back to the finish on Sunday, where we had a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. You had Scotty. Okay, you have Wyndham Clark after two rounds, pretty sizable lead, looked completely in command. What was interesting to me last week is the wind direction changed almost every day, so that course played a little bit, even though the greens were soft. Certain holes out there, you switch, if you get, for instance, if you get the wind off of the right on 18.
It was down off the right, went to off the left the next day.
It's a totally different hole. Off the left is one of the hardest holes those guys will play all year. Might be the hardest they'll play all year. But you had a guy like Xander, who's trying to get rid of this stigma as not being able to close out big events in a situation. He put himself in a situation again to do that. Yep.
Yeah.
You had Brian Harman, British Open champ, trying to chase down the lead. You had world number one playing injured. I mean, I had his group on Friday on whatever feed I was on, and he was just trying to get it in the house, dude. He was just trying to get it in the house. It was feed 2 and 3 relief. They're hiding me on there.
no shit.
But it was all the tour could have asked for sure. The only way it could have been better is if there was a playoff.
Mm.
And when Wyndham hit that fairway on 18, there was no doubt in my mind he wasn't going to make birdie. Mm. I was like, that we're going to a playoff for
sure. I thought Harmon was going to make his putt, too.
I thought he was going to hit a little better putt.
Yeah.
That putt breaks. We know because we play it, but we don't play at that speed. That putt snaps.
Harmon also got completely hosed on that second shot. It snagged up fast on him. And that it was playing.
It's like a mini upslope.
It was playing downwind as well.
What do you think about that pin? As a Sunday pin.
Because it used to be back left.
Forever. Yeah, I kind of like the back left better.
Yeah.
I got memories. That, yeah, Scotty they're finishing supposed it out to set there. It up. Jim Fier.
Tim Clark.
I think Funk had a memorable it's way finish
easier
on that putt.
Way easier to make bogey on a back pin on 18 than a front pin, I would say. That chip's pretty easy, though, that front pin.
And if you get that
down there.
I also thought Scotty was going to make his putt for birdie and put that thing out of reach.
And if you get that Friday pin with that, so the Friday wind down off the right, it's like 3-wood
wedge.
It's a freaking birdie hole. Yeah. So Drew, whereas the back left, it's not a birdie hole, no matter what wind.
Drew was following the lead group, and he watched Scotty. Did you watch him?
Yeah, so I was there all 4 days, and I kind of bounced around.
Where'd you pick him up on Sunday?
I clipped him on 4 after he holed out.
Did you see the hole out?
I did not. So I was going to get tacos, and then I was looking at my phone because I was like, well, should I follow Xander and Wyndham or pick up Scotty because he's on a heater, and then he holed out. And
who
I was
had
like,
a bigger group following him?
I didn't see the group, but I would
count.
Assume Scotty, honestly, because it was packed.
I haven't followed
a
big group like that.
It was unreal. Like, just to watch him play for that long. I mean, that's like the first time I've been there live.
The unreal part is the neck. You could tell it was really, but some of these guys are dramatic. But I could tell Scotty, he couldn't walk the same.
You can't look to the left.
Playing
or right
with a neck, a kink in your neck, that is.
He did more than just play.
No, I know. I mean,
stuff like that, you know, weird because he putted weak the week before. Stuff like that helps your putting because your expectation becomes lower and you free up putting.
Yeah.
That's a weird
thing. Yeah, more focused.
He putted well the week before, but he is, you know, streaking away at the world number one.
There's a big gap between, you know, you could arguably say if you just check out the LIV guys.
How's the footwork on him? I still can't get over his
footwork. For argument's sake, check out the LIV guys. You could say Wyndham is the second best player in the world right now, but the gap between Scotty and the next best is a big ass gap.
You said
right
it
now.
This morning.
His ball striking is just insane.
It's ridiculous.
Separation.
Yeah.
Like, the way he can separate himself from
it
the
doesn't
field.
Hit bad shots.
And I think you'll see the media love a guy like this because they can finally predict the outcome of a golf tournament. All you got to say is Scotty's going to win. I mean, we haven't seen anything like that since Tiger.
Dude, Scotty went off at 5.5-1 odds last week.
We don't
see those short of odds at a big event. Like, those are Tiger odds.
At a defending. Yeah. Nobody's defended the
Rom
the damn
was pretty
tournament.
Hot at one stage for a little bit. Scotty's been pretty good for
you think
like
Rom's,
a couple of years now.
I know he got paid, Hill, like, I know he got year. Paid, but do you think Rom's watching that at home, just being like, damn it, I might not ever have...
Don't know
that again.
I think they're getting that thing worked out for sure.
So what's going
Rory's
on?
Rory's come out and said, you know, I once that thing happened in June, I'm out of it. Well, now he wants to get back into it because he's like, we need to hurry up and get this back. And remember when Keith Pelly resigned or whatever, maybe it was a European tour player that plays in Jacksonville said that he heard that this thing's gonna be done by Augusta.
Wow.
So now we heard that a certain Australian guy ended up jetting it down to the Bahamas to meet with Yasser and other people. So they're right now, as we speak, trying to work this out. They just got to – you can't – there's no outcome where everyone's happy. So how do you do it? Like, and I think the biggest part is, like, do these LIV guys have to pay? But now my take is
have
is
to pay what
to like, come back on tour,
like give their money back that they took reparations.
Do they have a receipt?
But hold on, but the thing
it is interesting though. You can't just let them back.
Three things: the guys that stayed on the PGA Tour could have gone, they didn't. There's a winner and loser in every deal, right? Scottie Scheffler won how much the last 2 weeks? 3.5 and 4. He won $8 million. If Live Doesn't Never Starts, he doesn't win $8 million. He wins $4 million. So Scottie Scheffler made $4 million the last 2 weeks because of Live.
It's a Live effect.
Hold on. So he did get paid. And then this thing that they're building.
Yeah, but he performed to get paid. Those guys.
I don't give a fine shit.
But the tour is being reactive.
Like,
you're shaping the argument to fit your narrative.
Paris Hilton performed to make money, but she didn't have to because she had wealthy parents. Right? So also this equity, they will not get any equity. And this equity for Scottie Scheffler and Rory could turn out to be millions and millions of dollars.
How far down does that go?
There's a whole strategy, and Peter,
in that? I might be on the edge of that.
I think you get $1.50, so you can probably buy a can of Coke.
I saw like 100. It affects like 200 people, 200 pros. I feel like I'd be
on
the
range.
Are you still pro?
Well, no, but
are you still pro?
I've got two wins.
Yeah,
does that count for anything?
It does. It does go back for stuff like that. People that won, that built the product.
Yeah.
But
that's another thing that kind of burns my ass with all this. It's like these guys that are good right now, this is timing. I mean, been good players throughout all of it. Why does like a guy like Patrick Cantlay and these guys get to decide these things? The tour is bigger than any individual player. And I would rather have a guy out there like Nick Watney or Bill Haas who were, you know, that their voice to me should be just as relevant as a guy that's good right now.
Yeah, especially if someone is, I don't know, just young and had it handed to them.
But Rory has done everything short of saying what he wants to name his team when he goes to Live. I think it's good.
So you said they're going to get worked out. What do you think is going to happen?
Mal Natty, so he's on the advisory board. He just did a great article, I think, with Adam Shupak. It came out on Monday. It's saying the same thing as Rory's. Like, what Scotty did was Scottie Scheffler was amazing, but it would be just a little bit better if Rahm finished the like it's not saying that there's an asterisk. Of course there's not an asterisk. That's a ridiculous argument. But we need to have people come together, especially at the players. I don't think you miss it at Bay Hill because half the guys didn't turn up to Bay Hill anyway.
Yeah.
But the players is the one tournament outside the four majors that's gotta have, you know, that rock solid field for the fifth major. So they're gonna work it out. There's gonna be a Live event, I think, which was always the way, but it all depends on what the PIF want. They need to do the team events too, because I think the team events without the individual at the end of the year, they will be able to sell that franchise stuff big time. I'm convinced.
Yeah, I agree. They need to get rid of the
go around the world, two in South America, two in South Africa. Like that, the rest of the world, it's tough. You guys are Americans. I'm from Australia. And a lot of people just think golf in America. Whatever golf there is in America, of the world population, look, it's a fair amount, but it's probably 50%. It's not 100%. South America is growing, South Africa, Australia, Asia. You need to have these guys go and play there. And whenever the purse has got so big, the Australian Open couldn't pay Dustin Johnson $4 million to come because the purse is $2 million, right? It doesn't make sense. So this is going to be, it will be good. And I said from day one, they're going to work it out. And in, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, the world of golf is going to be awesome.
How exhausting is that travel? The
they'll
schedule?
All be on a it'll be a traveling circus. They'll have the Dallas Mavericks plane, first class. They're going to fly through the night. It'll be fine. And if that's the
it's
worst
like,
thing,
that not, sounds like a carnival.
It's not exhausting. It's not
it's
exhausting.
Not exhausting.
At all.
It's exhausting if you're
those
a twat.
Are, yeah, like, it sounds like a freaking blast. Is what it sounds.
Yeah,
like.
You can drink. Yeah. You can not drink.
Yeah, you got your own security. You don't got to go through TSA. Those
no,
guys
nothing.
Are having
it's,
fun
it's
on those plane rides.
They're having fun now. It's like a junior tournament now. They're having so much fun, and that's what it'll be. And if you want to go and get hammered, you got to show up. And the crowd don't know if you're hungover or not. And if you want to possibly let your team down and not win the prize money, fine.
You know,
but
what
you are still entertaining. This is an entertainment industry,
right?
Entertain.
What I haven't heard is any predictions of what a model could look like. I've only heard reactive, you know, opinions to what has happened, but nobody's come out. Like you've come out and said, make Live a fall series tour.
Or mix so it in, have a 3-week gap, and you get. I don't know. I don't. It all depends on what the tour wants and what Yasser wants.
Is like, Jay not down at this meeting right now in the Bahamas? I feel like he's not. I feel like it.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's not there.
Pete Malnati is there. Your boy.
Is he? I don't know. Yeah. Well, good.
All the guys.
Have as many people as you want, but
Yasser is going to be like, who the fuck is this guy?
Wearing that bucket hat. My son saw Malnati wearing that bucket hat and was like, that is sick.
Really?
Now he wants a bucket
hat. Dude, Malnati is right up Ford's alley.
You got to be a special character to wear a bucket hat on tour.
Yeah, if you don't want skin cancer on your ears, you should wear it.
Yeah, should.
I'm all for it. I don't wear them, but like I should be wearing it.
Overton was the original bucket hat guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, me too. By the way, Overton Monday qualified 2 events, Honda and Puerto Rico, 2 in a row.
Overton played Honda. How did he do?
I don't think he did any good.
Who beat the young kid in a playoff? And
so yeah,
he finished top 10.
Evan Harmling. Forever golfs.
yeah. Sorry,
our guy.
Dude, I have his arms. I texted him. I said, "Hey, does that get you into Tampa?"
It does. Like,
yeah. So he top 10
in Puerto Rico. Sorry, yeah.
He birdied his last in Puerto Rico.
I love that guy.
Finished top 10.
Evans is good as gold, dude.
So he's down in.
So he's playing this week. All right, we got someone to pull for. That is huge. We got many to pull for, but he's a sweetheart. So we pulling for him.
Yeah, and he's I would say. Wouldn't say mentored, tutored, but he's played a lot of golf with Miles Harmon. And I called him after he made it through, and he was all pumped. I was like, "So all you had to do was beat a ninth grader, and then you made it to your first tour event."
Did Miles play in the Barstool thing?
No, him and Weedy withdrew. I think they heard me and Big Al were playing.
Hold on, have we spoke about that? Al. So hold on, we do have the winner of what is it called? Yeah, the Barstool shootout,
Sawgrass shootout.
The Barstool
presented
Classic.
By Barstool.
Is that legal to have a former PGA professional?
I've seen other.
Drew,
I've seen
come on,
Colt and those guys playing those things before. No, my buddy Big Al called me, your pal Big Al, and was like, "Hey, my partner bailed maybe a couple weeks for the event. Do you want to play?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll play. I'm probably played twice since November. I was terrible, honestly. Al, I was okay during regulation. I hit a couple of nice shots, but it was a 12-hole scramble.
And y'all were 1 under for 6.
Yes, we rallied late. Al birdied the last hole on his own ball. Or no, actually, he missed the putt.
1 under through 6? You must have been in a shotgun. Did you tee off 1?
No, we teed off.
So there's 2 par 5s in there.
Right? Yeah, my back was. I can't get through a ball, dude. But anyways,
you need to get a stretch lab.
In the shootout,
just needed to make the shootout.
In the shootout, Al birdied the first 2 holes on his own ball. I mean, it was still a scramble, but like we took his tee shot, he made the putt on the first 2 holes. I didn't do anything great on the third. We took my tee shot, but we 2-putted it, and then we were in a playoff with 1 other team. These kids from Sea Island up in Frederica.
Ooh, that had to feel good.
It felt fucking.
Who were they?
I don't know. A couple of rich kids.
They own Frederica.
And Al on the first playoff hole just stones it to like 2 feet. He's like, "My kids are gonna think I'm a rock star this." I mean, he was so pumped.
He was looking good too. He's wearing the white Louis Vuitton belt.
What's the prize for winning the Barstool shootout?
A trophy and $100 credit to
you,
score.
If you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, that was it. That's all right. That's cool.
Did you get a handshake from Dan Rappaport?
No, he wasn't. He was there. I didn't get to shake his hand. I got a hug from Frankie. That's all I wanted.
He's
the best over there for sure.
Yeah, oh, buy more for me.
Solid dude. Yeah, those guys are all right. They're fine.
Just all right.
I won't go into details.
They're not me, but I mean they're all right.
All right. Next topic.
Yeah.
Cut me off.
Dental insurance.
Dental insurance. Let's talk about it.
Well, I've just discovered because I just you know.
Same with us.
I pay $1,000 a year. You know, my wife and 2 kids. The maximum it can help you. Is $1,000 per person, and they only cover for major stuff like braces is 50%. So you got to have $2,000 to get your $1,000.
So you're just going in there for like a car wash,
it's a freaking joke. You might as well just pay out of pocket. I think you probably get a better rate if they know you're not using insurance.
You might
a little cash rate, but all the insurance is a scam. I just do labs through Dr. Travis, who we've had on the podcast.
Well, it's nice to have that hookup though. No one.
And so you do labs?
Yeah, you know people. So I sent these labs off. The guy comes to your house, you pay him $100, and then he sends off to Cleveland Heart.
Yeah.
$4,000, right? Then they do this thing with insurance where it comes down to like $400, and then you have this and you pay $100. Well, I don't have like that high end insurance. So I don't know what I'm going to do about this bill. So
what is
just
it for?
Just get your blood examined. Like, holy shit, this country is fucking bananas with insurance and pharmaceuticals and oh my god.
Yeah, well, there's always Canada if you want to go up there for.
I am thinking about it.
No,
the Canadians are cooler too. I'm an American. Hang on.
Y'all want to talk about Disney Cruise?
Yes. Yeah, you went on a Disney Cruise. I mean,
my buddy Aaron Robinson's going on one in the summer. He's flying out from Australia to go.
Prosser, by the way, just got back from a cruise. He just went to the Bahamas, but I told him you went on Disney. He's like, are you kidding me? Tell him to man up. There's no drinking or casinos on that.
There's no drinking?
That's not true. There's drinking. There's plenty of drinking.
Yeah. But they're like double the price, right? Very expensive. Must be nice.
You're not, I think walking around on that ship uber tipsy would be a bad idea with as many kids are running around. So you dial it back. But I would say save your money.
I'd be gone the other way.
Unless your wife is into Disney. There's no.
And if that's the case, run.
If that's the case, just
her over there. Oh,
just do the full.
If there was ever a red
do the full
flag.
Transition.
On me, Ricky.
Yeah. I mean, it's the only way to kill time on that boat is to eat.
Yeah.
And then you walk by a station, that's you're like, well, I'll get another set of tacos or a cheeseburger. Just take like a wedding. You just take a bite and throw it out.
Did you weigh in and weigh out?
No, hell no. I know I'm up five.
You do that? Do people do that? Weigh in and weigh out?
I heard like with cruises, you got to do your research. I've never been on one, but I got some friends from Australia. They came over on their honeymoon. And they're like, yeah, we didn't know to do research. There's like, no offense, but there's the fatty cruises, and then there's like the non-fatty cruises.
Yeah. It's Walmart, dude.
Actually,
Walmart on a boat.
People are with their kids the whole time. Mine are 15, 13. They just took off. So I didn't see them the entire time.
Just hope they
My
don't
sister's
go overboard.
Got five kids, and I didn't see her either because she was looking after them. It's not like you just turn them loose and they're totally looked after. I mean, there's... You never know.
I do like the aspect of
you get a goofy
cruising,
character.
But cruising through the night and going from one island to the other, you get to see like four or five different islands. You just explore that day. I do like that aspect of it.
Yeah, I just don't.
I
like
think the whole cruise
confined.
Thing is overrated. I'll be honest. I've never been, but
I'd
rather just go.
I've never been, but it's
overrated.
No.
Here's
great
the thing.
Take.
I would rather just go because you went to the
sounds
Bahamas
like a no
laying
up take.
Yeah.
I would rather just go to the Bahamas and not have to deal with being on the boat because, like you said, you're just stuck on there. Like, okay, I've eaten eight times a day. What else am I going to do today?
But you do get off, right?
You get off.
Like,
you
I'd rather off. Just go to
did
each
you do,
destination.
Did you do any excursions?
Yeah, we went to Baja Mar.
Oh,
which
nice.
Was nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a water slide.
They have
and
casinos.
A park.
Well, hey, that's the one that...
you just don't have the time to go
you would have
hunt all that out.
You would have the time if you just went to Baja Mar without the... freaking cruise line.
Right. Even I've been that. Yeah, but great casino.
But Baja Mar, but you know what Baja Mar doesn't have?
Tell me.
The Disney characters.
Well,
that's true.
There's no Mickey and Minnie Mouse.
So I bumped into Pinkie Pelham on the way into Sawgrass on Friday.
What was he doing?
Sawgrass.
He was just buying merch for his daughter and
oh, really?
Grandkids.
Yeah.
And, just had a bag full of me. I just came here to get some of the merch and like
wait.
So we just got back from Baja Mar and he knew all about it.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
been,
dude,
he's been going
oh,
out
yeah,
there
he
forever.
Loves that
but I introduced him to Ford and then walked away because Pinky owns a Budweiser distributorship. And I said, son, you just met the Willy Wonka of Jacksonville, Florida.
That's right. Speaking of that, RB was at TBC all day Thursday.
Really?
Went up there, no pass. He was good. And he was setting the club. Cole was at his house or something and dragged him out.
Who's going to tell him to leave? Nobody.
So I should have bought a lottery ticket because RB being at TPC for a whole day.
Unheard of.
Never.
He
called me Tuesday night and I had dinner with Scott Tway, Harmon's caddy, Tuesday night at Dwight's. And I'm not a big drinker, and I had maybe a glass, like seriously, maybe a glass and a half of wine. I was pretty banged up for me, and I check my phone when I leave, and I got like three missed calls from RB.
Oh,
and
shit.
I'm like, oh, here we go. So I call him back. He's like, motherfucker, Adam's wearing your hat. You need to capitalize. And then I guess Adam Scott was wearing one of our hats at the inning club, and RB saw him.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah,
take it.
Yeah, we love it. We love Adam.
Get a picture.
It's a good looking model right there.
He's here this week.
It's not bad.
He's in town.
John McGinnis last week said on air that Myself and Camila Villegas on the same golf team had to be the best looking golf team in D1 history. And then Ryan Burr immediately inserted himself and said, well, there is this guy, Adam Scott, that went to UNLV. And I was like, yeah, you got a point.
Yeah. So that's
a
tough
one. Well,
who was
his
duo?
Who did he go to? Andres Gonzalez?
No, he wasn't. Michael Kirk. He was, yeah, Michael,
I don't remember him. Look up.
He's like a South African.
Jeremy Anderson, maybe?
Yep.
But he wasn't good looking.
There we go.
Good dude.
Central Florida guy.
He's not ugly. It's not my type, but, you know.
Not exactly a looker.
That had to be the most golf you've watched.
Dude, two weeks in a row. It was a lot of golf. I enjoyed doing it. Got to work with Swantech. Ryan Burr is all time, bro. He's like Marv Albert in the booth. I mean, it just cracks me up.
did he get going with the puns?
Oh my god, dude, he was.
He loves a pun.
You know the flags on the bleachers on 17 have the TPC look, the play, whatever.
They're
the
like
guy is
long, like rectangular.
Yes, yeah. He says those flags are misleading because they're synthetic flags, and the wind is not blowing that hard, and it's tricking. And I was like, dude, are you being serious right
now?
And he was being he was all over this thing for days, and then he comes in on like Sunday morning. And he goes, by the way, I was totally making that up about this.
Oh, I don't love it. That's the Steve
like,
Elkington stuff.
I love you. Like, I knew dude,
that's
you
what
were
Elkington does. I love that.
How about
shit.
This? How about this? There were some killer shots last week. They had some really good drone footage of above. And we're on like they're showing like 11, 12, and 13. And we're coming back on air, and they're going, and Ryan Burr. And there's this shot of this big building, and goes, and there it is, folks. This just a state of the art. You won't find any other headquarters in the world like this.
Take that, Apple.
And yes, pretty much like going along this for like 30 seconds. And it was the Sawgrass Marriott. And I was like, pretty sure it's Sawgrass Marriott there, right?
I will say, running with it the whole time. It's a very nice looking hotel, I'll be honest.
So if you don't know, Ryan Burr was on the Golf Channel for years.
Dude, he was a Sports Center anchor for 10 years.
Okay, Sports Center, Golf Channel, and then now he's doing a bunch of other stuff. I think he runs.
When LeBron went to Miami, he was anchoring that decision yeah. with Linda Cohn. He was the guy doing it.
Yeah, now he runs like a junior golf thing with Nota Begay. But man, he's different. I get on.
I had to tell her like we were doing it with Andy North, and
oh yeah, you got to work with North,
and he would and Burr, there'd be like a sick shot, and Burr would just go straight sportscaster, you know, like oh my god, and Scheffler delivers here at the 16th, and. I'm like, hey, Andy, Marv Albert is not in the booth with me, just so you know.
That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun, though. He keeps it entertaining.
You need to get some of those clips. They need to get those clips out. I feel like they're losing by not getting like entertaining clips because...
So we're working on getting a new reel for me, Kevin is, but he's like, I don't remember everything that I say because I feel like it's pretty good.
But the producers, like, they hear it. They're hearing everything we say. They should just put like a little dot. On a piece of paper,
yeah,
and then feed it to ESPN, and then go, "Hey guys, clip these 5 clips and put them out on your Twitter feed because they don't do anything. It's embarrassing."
Yeah, you did have some good one-liners, Drew.
We have suggestions for them, and they're like, "No,
yeah,
we're just going to stick to the 1970s playbook, and it's really crushing it."
One of my buddies was listening to the broadcast, and you were talking about Scheffler and his neck, and you said the best way, or it's clearly the only way to slow this guy down is to change his pillow at night, and that was maybe one of the best lines I've ever heard.
Well, that was an okay one, but I feel like I got a lot of good ones, but they're all from the hip, man. They really are,
and
it
just
happens.
That's the best way to do it. You just no plan.
I don't write down. The problem is I don't sit there and write down like,
oh, that was a good one.
Oh, let me write this down. That was really good.
It's not your job.
It's not. I got to keep going.
No, if you're doing that, you're not going to keep coming up with them.
But I feel like there are people that do that.
You can't.
Jim Nance does that. He's notorious. He writes the script, you know, in the middle of the night, and then gets to deliver it on Sunday.
But that's his role. So Matt's a different role. Matt's an analyst. That guy's a host. Those hosts have got to write down their stuff.
Yeah,
yes. And they should be ready for a few different scenarios.
It is a totally different animal, like the ad reads, which
We're supposed to just describe the shot, like what's going on, what
sending it over to another hole.
I'm the analyst. Let me do the analyzing. Yeah. That's what
he's the expert.
Well, we've been pushing to have two analysts to try that because look at like it's not rocket science, and they won't do it. Like now that they're on 17, I think who Smiley and Kiz were there, and like I felt like that was like. Just okay.
What do you think about 17 having that the U.S. Open strip of rough around it?
I think it's fine because if they spun it a lot, they still went in the water. I saw several hop over that.
Way different of hopping over. Only one spun off into the water of Sam Ryder the whole week.
Oh, no, there's more than that.
No, it wasn't.
I saw a couple sitting there.
Sam
Ryder, there was a few more.
Who else?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. I was boozing.
Yeah, you're wrong. And Sam's only happened because...
Let's have a 500 grand bet.
Okay, I watched the whole thing. No, like spinning the ball off the green. I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about landing it short in the rough and kicking back in the water. I'm talking about balls landing on the green and ripping back off.
You guys ripped it back off too much. Mm-mm. I saw at least two, Ryder and one other in the same day.
Let's see it. Shake on it. 500 G's on the line.
That's ridiculous.
I don't remember.
You didn't watch every shot.
I bet you $20. I had that feed all week.
You didn't take a break. You didn't go for poop.
Yeah, of course I took a break. But listen. That hole, if they had just, first of all, it's 135 yards. People go there to watch hole-in-ones and carnage, all right? There was 10 balls the first day, 11, and then six.
You would back up play a lot without that rough. You'd have a lot of fucking pills going in that water. It's dropping.
It's slow anyway.
I did hear something that I've never thought about, which is nuts because we've all lived here a long time. That is a perfect Ryder Cup golf course, 16, 17, 18.
Well, you'd have to the only thing is you can't put those three at the very end.
A lot of people
won't
make it there.
It might not make it there. Yeah. You would have to reroute it and to where like 18 was like maybe 17, but you can't have, you know what I'm saying? Because there's a good chance it never goes to 17 or 18 in those things. But I'm with you. That would be Hartford's another one that would be sick. I have a really hot Ryder Cup take. I think we need some juice in the room.
We know who you want to be the captain.
Said it on here?
Several times. But I brought that up the other night.
Every episode.
I was talking to Bussy. We were over at Billy Kapaz's house.
Dude, Billy Foster and Joe LaCava, let him be captains. Tiger's got the rest of his life to be captain.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Two like aggressive caddies.
Yes.
I love that.
And Joe, both were like on the green when that happened last year with the beef with Rory.
The powers would be, we'll never ever have that. But
here's
I
the
think
problem,
anyone
though.
Under the age of like 50, if you survey, they'd be like,
what
yes,
did Bussy,
let's
what did Bussy
do that.
Say about it?
No, he just didn't have much. He had just, they're in the group with Cantlay.
Oh, okay.
So I said, how was Joe? And I was like, you know, have you heard the strong take from Every about Joe should be the captain of the Ryder Cup team? And he's like, oh, yeah. So why wouldn't they every time they go, especially when they go to Europe, they lose.
Yeah. So. Well, and Joe's like from that neck of the woods up there.
Yeah.
In
New York,
Page.
Yeah.
I know it's Tiger's job, but Tiger's got the rest of his life to do that. And here's the, you say the powers that be. How many important positions in golf are filled by guys who have never hit a shot on the PGA Tour?
Yeah.
Too many. Why can't we do this? This, to me, just totally weeds out the boys club. And we turn it into like competition again.
Yep.
Next year's an election year. Let's start stumping for LaCava.
I will say, after watching Full Swing, I am
season used. 2 is much better than season.
I haven't
one,
seen
by the way.
One
I am,
or two.
I am juiced up for the Ryder Cup next
really?
Year. Yeah,
oh,
it's
really?
Awesome. I love
good.
The team.
It,
I don't like Liv as
it's at
much,
Beth
but
Page?
Like
yeah,
that team yeah. vibe is awesome, in my opinion.
So to me, Bethpage won't be a fantastic venue. For like that event,
yeah,
it's really cool crowd.
The
but
crowd
there's
will
no like
it.
Crazy interesting holes coming in. They're brutes. It's a great course. I fucking love the golf course. But I think
Ryan Burr also
a
had
train.
A hot take on this. He,
come on,
he
should have a fucking
he said
Twitter
the,
page.
He said the President's Cup in Canada this year, Royal Montreal, will be more a better atmosphere than Bethpage.
Can we get a why?
He said the Canadians just love their golf and. And I think Johnny McGinnis was on the other end of that, and he was like, the Canadians are like the nicest people in the world. There's no way. Like he's
that
like,
is a hot take.
Yeah.
Mark Zucchino, he was out there.
Was he?
For life he's a Canadian. Love
there are a
guy.
Lot better Canadian golfers out there right now, though.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Surprised,
Nick Taylor.
That surprised me last week, Saturday, Nick Taylor. Usually if that guy's around the top, he's stays there.
We're going to have his
It's a very un-Canadian sounding name to me. So he's, every time I see Nick Taylor, I think he went to Alabama.
His coach, Mark McCann, lives here, a little South African guy. I love that guy. We'll have him on here. He will be very interesting on here.
Where does he live in, Nocatee?
He lives in E-Town.
E-Town.
Cool little spot, yeah. It's very central. Good real estate agent.
Speaking of Canada, we did have Mr. Hadwin with the club toss on the first day.
That's right. Yep. Two-handed toss. Though.
That was safe. Very safe.
I don't
throw.
Love the axe throw kind of thing.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
But I thought it was great.
No,
it was let
awesome.
It out.
Let it rip.
That's probably worth a couple of grand.
I'm willing. I feel like the tourists. Okay, this is such horseshit, by the way.
Can't wait.
I just feel like they've softened their stance on that stuff. Like back in the day,
but they should have back in the day.
Like now they're posting that on their Instagram,
right?
Like back in the day, you were getting
Kevin Stadler
big time.
Conduct
I mean, I would get that's an instant $5,000 fine.
Kevin Stadler hit a bad.
I'm wondering today if it's even anything. I really am. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is anymore.
What 1 year on 18? Stadler was like Friday. I think he was missing the cut. Maybe it was Sunday, but he hit the same shot a few times in the water. And he's like, fuck, you know, he didn't throw it. He just put one finger on the end of it and just tossed it into the water next to the tee. And he got like a $5,000 fine. He's like,
I placed it in there.
What the fuck, guy? Like, this is ridiculous. There's no anger. I didn't say fuck.
Yeah.
He got half the tour screaming Donald Duck after every shot. They get nothing because they're top 10 in the world.
Yep.
And he's like, I don't get in trouble. I'm a mute out there. And I toss one into the water and some kid can go fish it out and get a $500 club and you find me.
What happens if you
I think he got out of it. Rick, I think Rick George was back then. That guy was good. Remember him?
Oh, do I
come and get
him.
It.
He is awesome.
Do I remember
is he
Rick
still
George.
At the Texas Rangers?
He's with Rangers. Colorado Buffs. He's got Deion Sanders to be the coach there. He's the athletic
Rick George, come on.
Yeah.
What was his
He was role? Like he was like the guy under Fincham when I first got on tour. He's the disciplinarian. And
who's that now? Pazda?
Well, no, Pazda's out. It's Tyler Dennis.
Tyler Dennis. He's good.
Yeah, he's fine, but I don't know about a disciplinarian.
He'll be so. He's too nice.
He's way too nice.
Punching bag.
Yeah, he's a great dude, but I don't know how he would walk up to someone and go, they don't. They just put it in your locker.
Yeah.
So when you get fined.
They hide behind their notes.
When you get fined, you don't know it's coming. You just open up your locker after a round, and there's an envelope in there.
So, but these.
You have 2 weeks to appeal this.
But these fines are.
And Matt's like, Kevin, can you appeal this one again?
Aren't they charitable contributions?
Yeah, they are. They are tax deductions.
So it's
yes, they are tax deductions.
Nice. I don't think they are.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm pretty sure they're not.
Well, then who would you have to pay?
Well, hold on.
It's a nonprofit, saying this, right?
I don't know because I've never had one. I've had many warnings. And thanks to Rick George, I've never had one.
I bet you total in my career, I'm close to six digits.
Nice.
Holy cow.
It's not nice. But it over time, I mean, I was out there for 10 to 12 years, and there was some rough years.
You know who else is at six digits? A lot of the slow guys. Like Ben Crane and that. I don't want to speak for, but Ben Crane would be six digits.
Dude, there was some
gaps. They didn't care. They already factored it in.
There were some gaps in play out there. That's another thing you notice doing
TV.
There
was some, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it is so easy to spot those slow players, dude. Mm-hmm. It really
Call them
is.
Out. I put a tweet out.
Like, I do.
The last group took 4 hours and 30 minutes on a golf course where 20 under won.
Oh, yeah.
That's bullshit.
This segment is brought to you by Aimpoint.
On Saturday.
It is. It's Aimpoint.
It's a lot of it's Aimpoint. It is.
How do you even feel that?
Let's trash Aimpoint here.
I'm only jealous of Aimpoint because I can't do it.
Well, if you can straddle.
You should not be able to straddle your line.
Yes. You can't straddle your line when you putt. Why should you be able to straddle a line when you read?
Got a point.
Read the putt.
Oh, look at this.
Right?
You should only be able to straddle the line.
Martin Slumbers listens to this podcast.
Behind
so,
the RNA.
It's right up there with the drop now from the knee. It just looks terrible.
Wouldn't that speed things up if you could place your drop?
No, it'd be cheating. But just drop from the hip.
But if they changed the rule, then everybody
has didn't need
that
to go knee. What's if it's like it used to be shoulder.
It used to
just
be
go
over
hip.
The shoulder.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Turn around. Yeah.
Speaking of drops here, what do you guys see? Did you guys see the thing with Wyndham?
Wyndham
is that when he started stamping on everything?
Yeah, he's kind of like
I did say that like really quick. Yeah,
he seems to be attracting some controversy his way each
I hadn't
week.
Heard about this till yesterday, but then I'd also heard last week Wyndham Ride of 18 was like
I saw his drop on 10. I saw that live, and I was like, that's a little sketch. He's looking for a better place to drop
because when you get in there, you do got to put it down to know like how much air is under
the
ball.
Well, that's building.
No, but you don't have to do it.
No way. I am so on the other end of that. If you've played golf at all in your life at a high level, Aaron, you know I got to be careful here. I can't seed this thing behind the ball or it's going to fall down and move.
Well, if
like,
it moves.
That's part of it.
Yes, but look, you could go. We could go back into the archives and
For those of you at home,
you've got to get it down there. It's an intuition or something. Like you can, when you get down there, you have an understanding, right? You don't do it like
you're reading the lie.
Kenny Perry did it about 19 times. When
you
can't find that clip.
Greasy as hell.
The tour took that clip. It was up there against Charlie Hoffman.
Yes.
Dude, he's over there with a hybrid. You know, there's something like he pulls out like an iron.
Let me tell you at home, if you see a guy in rough pull out a fairway wood and then go back to an iron, I'm totally fine if you call that guy a cheater. I'm totally fine.
I'm with
it.
You.
It's the greasiest move ever. No, you're not pulling one over on anybody. That is 100% your intent. When you take out a fairway wood and some deep rough and then all of a sudden hit a 7-iron after, you're just trying to improve your lie before you hit.
I've seen Rom Greenside do the same thing where he smashes down, you're building a lie.
Yeah. Yes.
Instead of just like, there's one way to read it and feel it.
I will
it
say that
club,
like over 72, I'm not condoning, I'm not, but over 72 holes, like the advantage is so.
Don't care.
Yeah, but in the moment.
But then, then to go way out, then you go to every other sport, all they're doing is fucking cheating, like soccer, basketball,
you get rewarded for cheating in those sports.
Yeah, so look, like we hold ourselves to a higher standard here in the game of golf.
Well, how about the drops Roy had this week on 18 and 7 in the first round? You didn't see that?
That was busy.
It was pretty good. I mean, it was entertaining. Victor was very vocal in them, and
he's a tough on the drop.
I give him props for that because he's protecting. Dude, nobody does that out there. Including myself, I would be the same way. If someone asked me where it crossed, I'd be like, "Dude, wherever you think, you're the one that's got to sleep with."
I watched a guy on 18, and you know, it didn't cross much land, and he dropped it up there where he could get a 3-wood on the green.
What's his name?
No, I don't mention names.
What's his initials?
I'll tell you after.
All right.
I don't want to because I didn't see it. And I don't want to be controversial, but like a lot of people do.
It's a but it's probably the biggest form of greasing the rules on tour.
But if you're playing partner, I will have this. You never go against your playing partner. I had a time with Korn Ferry event in Chicago. You ever play that one, Glen Club?
Oh yeah.
Last hole's a par 5. I was playing with Gary Hallberg. Love Gary Hallberg, but I hit it over there and
where?
For 2 over the water, and it landed pretty high up there,
and then roll back
and roll back in, and Gary's like, it didn't cross, and the guy out there is like, he's sort of pointing over the line, and Gary's like, no, that guy was a bit behind the ground, I think he could see that it didn't cross the line, and Gary was standing like right where I am. I'm like, okay, I just fucking dropped one from 250, but it crossed. But I don't know, I'm just like, he wasn't doing it intentionally. I'm not saying he believed what he saw, but.
But Victor, he likes to watch you hit.
Sure does.
he's not off in land.
They need to broadcast this. This is great TV.
They did. I had the.
But you need to, like, were you and Burr? You didn't get in.
Me and Burr were there on 18. I did. I was like, Victor.
Put that out there on social media.
It's so vocal. He's so vocal on where his guys. He participates in it more than any other player on tour. I'm telling you, 95% of the guys on tour would do exactly what I just said. Hey, where do you think that crossed?
Wherever
you think. Because at the end of the day, that person has to go to bed at night with that decision. If they're going to be out there a long time, these things, over time, you develop a reputation, and you don't want to be the guy who greases. Yeah. You just don't, man.
Tiger's 1-14 was not good that year.
Well, he was also playing with Casey Wittenberg. Tiger's walked all over Casey on that drop.
Where is Casey Wittenberg?
I don't know. Dan Olsen was talking about him the other day.
That's right.
We've gotten a lot of.
Dan call you?
Everybody loves that episode.
Did Dan call you
about?
I think Dan needs a permanent spot on this podcast, and I told him, I said he's going to have my seat.
We need to bring him back.
That guy's the man.
He was just well.
I've had. So
can we
many,
release to the?
I have had
dragging a horse. With
so many
flaws.
Tour players come up to me out. I went out there on Tuesday and said, "Holy crap." That Dan Olsen podcast was all time.
And what people don't know is that was the edited version. We need to release
we had
the unedited
to snip
version.
Out about
you
20
know what?
Minutes.
We came about together. A 6-minute clip there that he rambled on about just
conspiracy
out of bounds.
We had to make one major
bullshit.
We had to make
Dude,
one
that
major
way we can't
cut.
Air that part.
One major cut.
First Amendment.
But I was rallying to keep everything else in because it's just raw. Like, that's what people want to hear.
He's as raw as it gets, man.
And I wanted to cut out the part about him talking about speeding things up by going behind the green with the player's wife.
That's exactly what I was talking about. But that's raw. Like, that's just
We left it in there.
What did you say?
Well, I haven't re-listened to it, and I got Alzheimer's, so I should re-listen to it. I can't remember.
The Danimal. Right. Don't feed the Danimal.
The Danimal.
I mean, what a name.
He was just talking about, like, intrusive thoughts. And he's like, yeah, you just got to keep it under control. And sometimes, you know, you see somebody out in the crowd and you want to just bend them over after you make a birdie, but you can't
oh
do that.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that part.
What if I just showed up and, you know, I feel a lot more comfortable, Clowkey, if I could just punch you in the face before I start my round.
Speaking of getting things back together, the potential amalgamation is, if you look at the ticket prices for the majors, the tour needs to be incentivized to get the Do you know what? One ticket Thursday. A friend of ours, Jamie's 50, Aussie guy, lives in Jacksonville. He's like, "Can you get me a ticket?" Going through Abe's caddy, Benji, who used to
for
do
Augusta.
Tickets. Yeah, did tickets and homes.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Dude, I hate to tell you, but like, it's $2,400 for one ticket on Thursday."
Oh my god!
And you know, our friends, you know,
Augusta
sell
does
their
a
tickets.
Great job of policing that. Like, how does this find its way into?
No, you can. You can, like, you get.
You can do it.
You can go in and out
story.
Once.
I got a good story for you.
Okay. You can go go out at midday and sell your ticket for
1 year.
But you got to be like 100 yards away from the entrance, or they'll. The cops love to do that. And Georgia has a state law of like anti-scalping.
Okay.
So you sell the ticket with like.
Is that a bad word now?
What, scalping?
Are we allowed to say that anymore?
Scalping?
Yeah, we got it on a t-shirt back there.
Yeah.
Scalp them.
Scalp them.
Let's go Knowles.
What do you think? It's like something.
You don't know what scalping is?
Oh, I know what scalping is.
Yeah, I just thought we wouldn't be able to say
it's
that.
It's pretty barbaric. It's been around for a long time.
It's historic. Bring it back.
I got an Augusta scalping for you. So if you make it into the tournament, you get 8 tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
8 free for the players. Weekly. Nice. Badges.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
You also have the option to buy four more at cost.
No brainer.
Sure. 1 year, he's not my buddy, but like he was with the same agency I was with, and this guy qualified. His family was not coming. He bought the 4 extra. He got like $100,000 cash in a briefcase.
Oh my God.
For all 12.
I love that.
That's wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's a nice hit. $100,000 cash.
Yeah.
Well, most guys, do. And then if there's
just
if you don't have
grounds.
12, they do.
Yeah,
they let him go and it pays for the house.
This is a little different route here. This is when Taylor Swift came to Atlanta.
Wow.
No. This is just a quick story. Quick story. When Taylor Swift came to Atlanta, my buddy did the same thing. He somehow got in the queue, got like 3 tickets, and he flipped them for like $8,000.
I believe it.
And I was
those
genius,
poor little girls
man.
Just want to go
genius.
To the concert.
Supply and demand.
That's right. Do what you got to do.
People how do you get in that queue? You just is it luck of the draw?
I think he had his phone, his girlfriend's phone, and their 2 computers.
It's
just
gone.
On.
It's become ridiculous though. Like the resale tickets.
It's bullshit. I was looking at the Florida State game next week. Melanie Toole was telling me she got her tickets like when they started at like 20,
baseball game.
Yes, in town here. At like $20 a ticket, decent seats, just through like the Gator Bowl website. Now they're sold out, and on Ticketmaster, it's ridiculous, dude. Like down the right field line by the pole,
is it
$80 a seat?
You can't.
What are they
playing? Status for that
for
one?
College?
Florida,
baseball.
Florida State. They're just doing.
Is that the Jumbo Shrimp Stadium?
Yeah,
well, that's probably only 6,000 seats. Fits 10,000.
Can't just pull a little Florida card.
Ooh, yeah.
There's so many people that
call
went
the
to
AD.
Florida. Yeah. They don't give a fuck.
You need Billy Becker. We got side stage at Tim McGraw without even showing anything. We actually didn't even have tickets yet. We just rolled up in this Tesla Cybertruck.
We'll figure it out.
And cops
were
like
there.
Waving us in, and then I've done the backstage scene before, so I know where to go through the dock door. We're just waiting there, side stage, texting Cole and those guys, and we don't even have tickets.
They just heard you talk and they waved him through.
No, this is in this Tesla.
It's a Cybertruck.
People just thought we were like Will Smith or something. I don't know. It was wild.
Will Smith.
Well, speaking of that, I think my buddy has ordered 6 of them, and he's just going to flip them because the wait's a year.
The Cybertrucks?
Yeah. So he, when they first came out, you could order them. He ordered 6 of them.
Yeah, $100 deposit.
And then he's just going to flip them. There's one bidding right now. It ends on not
I did,
his.
I did see one this weekend. Maybe
that was
maybe
it.
That was
Becker's. But you can, here you go. 2024's Tesla Cybertruck. There's 4 bidders. This is not his.
Is this on eBay?
Ends on. The bid's 150 grand. The sticker price is only like 100 grand.
That's
okay.
It.
Yeah, this is not him. He just
that's an affordable truck.
Yeah.
So 3 days left, 150 grand. So
it looks like a trapezoid.
You order six of them, that's an easy 300 grand.
Like a dustbuster just coming down.
How does
the
that?
Road.
Do those get delivered? He just pulls up with six Cybertrucks in his.
Well, I think they come coming periodically. They don't turn up on the one day.
Yeah, you have one of those tractor trailers just dumping six Tesla Cybertrucks.
But nah. Anyway, so hopefully we have a few more tidbits about this potential amalgamation in the next few weeks.
Yeah,
I don't expect anything for a while.
You don't think something's going to get leaked about this meeting? I feel like there's some moles on the inside. End up getting some stuff.
I don't think so. Yeah. I have faith.
Maybe a waiter was overhearing more than he should. Delivering a nice.
I got a live question here. So I'm not a millionaire yet. You guys are there, but like,
you 108.
Going back to like the whole Rom thing and him watching from the sideline, like. I don't know. My thing with all that is how much more money is another million going to do you? Like, I feel like it'd be worth way more to play in these big tournaments and get more money. I mean, I don't have that kind of money, but I'm just like, how much more money do you need? Do you need? Like, I feel like the competition of that, like that tournament this weekend is electric.
I think that
once you become a millionaire, you'll want another nair.
Yeah. I don't think
get to the billionaire.
I think it changes human and grows instinct. Organically for people like that have money. And it's like, oh, okay, I can get a nicer plane.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but...
I don't know. But at some point, yeah, that you're true. They're not going to be able to spend it all because it's invested, too, and it's they can live off their interest.
It's not even that, but it's like you're a golfer. Like, you want to compete, and...
Right.
Like, you got these guys, like, you know, Koepka and all them who...
My favorite was made when, their Rom, millions and, when Rom went there, and then, like, the first week, I think it was Vegas or something, he's, like, losing it on the crowd for talking.
That
was,
Mike Hoba.
That was fucking great. It's like, well, dude, you signed up for this.
You be quiet.
Tootie's calling. We need to get him on the podcast.
He
put him on the
on.
List.
He won't come on. No, too much to lose.
He won't.
I don't blame him.
We'll keep it PG.
He's too smart.
All right, that was good news.
All right.
Yeah, fellas. Enjoyed
it. We'll see you next week.